noises, so much sweet with the guilt. So we are ready to have done today. I will say in Jesus' name. So my sister, please participate here. Introduce our guest.
Oh, thank you so much. I know quite a number of people here. My name is Jenny, I'll just say it. So I'll go straight to point. This is Evangelist Heshi Mukola. He is a missionary that has come from the U.S. So I would like us to pay attention and hear what he has to say.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, and I don't mean to interrupt you. If you open into the book of 1 John in chapter number 1, the things that I want to talk about, and I realize it's a pretty short period of time, it is fellowship with God. There are very few people in this world who have fellowship with God. And even fewer of us, we have it each day. And that's what the apostle is here talking about. It's the sweetest, it's the most enjoyable, it's the most perfect thing in this world is to commune with God. It is our strength, our joy, our peace. But the way to achieve this is in the blood of Christ. If we approach God by our own effort at any time, it'll be rejected. It's because of our sin. I have not done anything perfect. And so to approach God by what Christ has done, and our best effort is to sin. But to admit our sins and approach God only through the shed blood of Christ, it is perpetual peace. And He will receive you and me for Christ's sake. That's the subject. That's the thing. And so I would like to read down from 1 John 1, verse number 1, to chapter 2, verse number 2. Vianney and I, we have been traveling in the south and then now up north, into Kasina, into Kaduna City, into Jos, Asaba, and we've been going about to share the gospel. And I've been greatly encouraged up north here, and I hope to come back. I've been living in Lagos for almost over 20 months, but I will be coming up north, the Lord willing. So thank you very much for receiving me and for this time. It is my privilege to be here in Nigeria. But I'm in the Holman translation, and the scripture says from the book of 1 John 1, verse number 1, what was from the beginning we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes. He's talking about a personal experience of the Son of God and of the Father. That the Lord Jesus Christ is to be experienced in the gospel. It is not an intellectual thing only. We must have truth. Without truth, we cannot be saved. But the truth must be experienced into our hearts each and every day. Just as Israel had to go out each day to collect at manna. And if they waited and they tried to eat it from yesterday, except on the Sabbath, it would breed worms. And so an old experience of Christ is unhelpful, and it can be fatal unto our souls if it's not refreshed every day by the gospel, moment by moment by the gospel, and so that we are actually walking with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and our first love, it is maintained. It's what we have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. As you opened up, sister, as you said, that love is a person. It is a person. It's our Lord Jesus Christ. And we have touched him by faith, and they actually put their hands on him. That life was revealed, and we have seen it, and we testify and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father from everlasting and eternity. He's equal with God our Father, and was revealed to us. He manifested himself unto us. What we have seen and heard, we also, the Apostle John said, declare to you. We share to you, we preach with you, so that you may have fellowship along with us. But here's what's so important about having fellowship along with John and the apostles. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Let me just ask you, do you have experience of the fellowship of the communion with God? Does he accept you? Does he receive you? Does he talk to you? And upon what basis? This is what our brother John is going to enter us into. This week's fellowship is on the basis of the shed blood of Christ alone. That is one of the keys in the gospel that helped me when I was first born again. I was a religious preacher. I was extremely zealous and sincere, but I was wrong. And here is my error. I thought that by doing the best I can do and being sincere in my closet, in public, in private, the same person. But you know, that was my pride and my glory. And when I came to realize through the preaching of the gospel and evangelists came, that even our best efforts are sin, and that God is too holy to accept sin, it stripped me of all of the righteousness that I ever had. And I began to understand that scripture in Isaiah, that I had been preaching, all of our righteousness are as filthy rags. And I thought that by saying that and by knowing it, that it would somehow still be accepted. But to say I'm a sinner and to know I'm a sinner, it does not make me accepted by God. It's the blood of Christ. If the criminal comes into the courtroom and he says, "Hey, I did it," he's going to jail, though. There is no blessing. But if the blood of Christ, if the crime has been paid for, then it is accepted. And I'm forgiven and I can go free. You can go free. And so he says in verse number 4 that we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. And as our communion with God is strong, it has to express itself in helping other people to see Christ. That's the reason I'm an evangelist. That's the gift he gave me. And whatever gift he gave you, as you get your eyes on Christ, as you want to love and you want to share the gospel, either with your giving or your writing or your posting or your witnessing or your hugging on somebody else. Now, verse number 5, this is the message. There's only one message that we have heard from him and declare to you. There is no arguments about this, that God is light and there is absolutely no darkness in him. Amen?
Amen.
That's what I've been talking about. There is no ability for God to accept a sinner upon any basis but the sin being punished and gone. He cannot hide it. He cannot sweep it under the rug, as we say back home. He cannot put it in the closet. He cannot ignore it. He cannot pretend it's not there and just say, "Come on home." He has to punish Jesus Christ, his Son. He has to deal with that sin that's in you and me openly. Mm-hmm. or his justice is not satisfied. And he is too holy of a God. He is too much light. He is too pure than to behold evil. And so the iniquity of the transgressor, the iniquity of the worshiper, the iniquity of the preacher preaching right now is cleansed and dealt with by the blood of God's own dear Son. How about you? Is that your acceptance? Is that your relationship with God? It is constant peace if it is at all times. And if we come any other way, he will not receive you. In him is no darkness at all. He doesn't play with sin. He punishes and he forgives, or he rejects forever. Verse number 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him, if we brag and boast, and if we do, yet we walk in darkness, we hide our sins, and we offer him sin, we are lying and are not practicing the truth. If my sin is being dealt with by trying harder, that's what I used to do after I sinned. I'd go pass out tracts and I'd go preach. Oh, I did this. Let me make up for it now. And to really prove I was really sincere and I was really repentant and I am actually trying to be your child, I would go out and try to do something better. But you know, that doesn't pay for the sin I've already committed. That doesn't make me and you accepted by God. As we'll see, if we confess our sin, if we bring it unto God, if we bring it unto Christ, if we say, I'm a sinner, I did it, and I can't help myself, I can't cleanse myself, it's up to you. Ah, the blood of Jesus Christ will bring us back into communion with God and full assurance and joy and peace. But if we walk, verse number 7, in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And here is the key of that fellowship. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, his own darling, precious son, who was sacrificed for the sins of other people, he cleanses us from all our sin. It's accepted. So I can be the biggest sinner in the universe, or I can be the smallest, which is still the biggest. I can be accepted because our Lord Jesus Christ, he died for his people's sins. And he put away sin. And he answered the wrath of God. He satisfied God's justice. That's why God forgives. And often we think, well, I've done so much bad for so long. I've hidden it. I've acted the hypocrite. I've sinned in his face. I've been rebellious. I've turned my own way into sin. How can he forgive me and restore this sweet fellowship and communion? For surely I have to go on time out. I have to go into the outskirts. I have to go in the chastisement, and I have to mourn, and I have to be miserable, and I have to make up for it, and then maybe after a while, he'll let me back. But look now. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son. That's the most high sacrifice. That's the most high payment that the infinite equals with God the Father, came down here, obeyed our rules as a man, obeyed on our behalf, and then died accursed of God to satisfy his justice. And he was punished unto the death, even unto the shedding of his precious blood. And the Father did not spare him, even though he cried and wept and mourned. Isn't that enough for God to die in the person of his own son to satisfy justice. That's what he said it would cost from everlasting. That's what it did cost. And he paid to the utmost might everything that we owe. Amen. If we come to God in his name alone. I've been learning just small in Hausa. Mm-hmm. Christi Kade.
Christi Kade.
Anybody here speak Hausa? Yes. Him alone. Nothing else in my hands I bring, but simply unto the cross I cling. That's what the hymns say. And we need to read those hymns with understanding, because they had the true gospel uncorrupted, unperverted. Let's get back to that now. Verse number 8. If we say that we have no sin, we are not fooling God. We are deceiving ourselves. If I get done preaching and I say, God, that was great, accepted, it was without sin, I'm deceiving my own self. Oh. And the truth is not in us at all. I'm blind unto the character of God and my own nature. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. He is righteous to forgive us our sins for Jesus Christ's sake, according unto his promise, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That means two things. One, if I sin, I can come back to him and get cleaned up. It means two, if I'm not sinning in the eyes of men, and I'm doing the very best I can possibly do, if I come to him in the name of Christ and say, Father, even this is not good enough, he cleanses it, he forgives it, and he accepts it through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He takes what's truly done by faith. That brings him glory. That's how our preaching is accepted, our praying, our singing, our works, our love. It is Christi Kade. If we, verse number 10, if we say that we don't have any sin, we make him a liar. And his word is not in us now. This is the only gospel. It's the only way. It's the only hope I've got. It's the only hope that you've got, sir. The precious blood of Christ alone. Chapter 2, verse number 1 and 2, and I'm done. My little children, I'm writing you these things, that you may not sin. I want you to be purified and cleansed. But if anyone does sin, if anyone rejects the gospel, or he goes in another way, we have an advocate, someone to make us acceptable and to plead our case with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Now, in your translation, it might just say the righteous, but it's the same thing. There's only one righteous. There's only one who obeyed God. That makes us accept. Is that your acceptance? That one man at all times? Then you are accepted at all times. That's the fellowship with God. That's constant. Even in our sin, as we confess it. Even in our joy, as it's only because of the blood of Christ. Even in our blessings, it's only because he died. That's fellowship with God. And he himself. It's not our church. It's not our pastor. It's not our trying hard. It's not our denomination. It's not our years in Bible study or preaching. He himself, not something that me and you do, is the propitiation, is the payment, is the appeasement of the anger of God for our sins. And not for ours only, the apostles or the brethren there that he's writing, but also for those of the whole world. And I will close with this, that the elect of God, those who have been chosen by the Lord Jesus Christ, as he said, you have not chosen me, I chose you and ordained you to bear fruit. It's already settled. It's a done deal by God. They have a salvation that is bought by the blood of Christ, that is guaranteed and secured unto them, unto us, from before the foundation of the world. As Ephesians 1, he chose us. As Romans 9, Jacob have I loved and Esau I hated. But what he's saying here is everybody come. If I don't know I'm elect, come to Jesus Christ. If I'm the filthiest sinner that's ever lived, come to Jesus Christ. If my sin is so ingrained in me, and I don't even want to get rid of it, come to Jesus Christ and say, I'm so filthy, I love my sin. And he'll forgive you, cleanse you. He'll make you able to hate it. Ask him for a new heart. Ask him for a new life. Ask him for this fellowship and communion with God that is real. That's real. Thank you for your time.